All right, we will turn to Mark chapter 2. The book of Mark chapter number 2, and we'll read verses 23 through 28. We're about to finish up chapter number 2. And this is lesson 13. We've been in this 13 weeks now. Of course, we had Bible school in there. We've had some missionaries and vacations and things like that. I've been out of town preaching, so we've missed a few, but we've had 12 lessons so far. Tonight's the 13th. Mark chapter 2, verse 23 through verse number 28. We'll read those verses. And then at the end of the service, we're going to open up the doors of the church. We've got some that wants to be baptized on Sunday, so we'll take care of that. So I don't think I'll forget that, but you help me remember, make sure we do that at the end. But Mark chapter 2 and verse number 23, the Bible said, "And it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn. And the Pharisees said unto him, Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And he said unto them, Have you never read what David did when he had need and was an hungered? He and they that were with him, hey, went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar, the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat but for the priests, and gave also to them which were with him. And he said unto them, The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath." And we could just title this, if you've got a study Bible, it's probably got something along the lines of my Schofield Bible says, Jesus, Lord of the Sabbath, or just Lord of the Sabbath. You also find this corresponding passage of Scripture in Mark chapter 12 and verses 1 through 8, and in Luke chapter 6 and verses 1 through 5. And as I was studying about this, thinking about this, there's a lot of ways you could look at these few verses. There's more than meets the eye there. There's a lot that we could study about, try to bring out different ways to approach this passage of Scripture if we was to examine it. And we're going to look at it tonight verse by verse, but there's just some things I was thinking about that we're not going to deal with very much tonight. But I thought there's a lesson in the corn. We could study about that and the typology and how that's a type of food, type of the Bible. And there's life in the corn, but there's death in the law. They were hungered and wanted to eat, and the law, the Pharisees, you know, they were saying, no, you can't do that, you can't eat. So there's a lesson in there we could bring out. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 6 says, the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And so that we could look at that, the corn and the law there. We could look at the hardness of the Pharisees' hearts. You know, they were just trying to catch the Lord Jesus in something they could condemn him for. And that they were just hard in their hearts towards the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no it's no accident that in Luke chapter number 10, when Jesus told the story about the Good Samaritan, and most people remembers that maybe even from Sunday school growing up, you know, it was the religious crowd that had no compassion. And they passed by and they would have let that man die beside the road. It was the Levites. It was the priests. And, you know, what were they doing that they couldn't stop and help this man that was in a dire need? But yet they did not do that. So we could talk about the Pharisees and learn some things about the hardness of their heart. And we could look at the lessons from the Old Testament. And we'll see that a little bit in verses 25 and 26. When I think about how did the Lord Jesus Christ teach? How did he present his case? How did he make his point? He always went to the Scripture. And that's what he did here. He referred to the scripture. He referred back to David and something that happened in the life of David. And these men, they read about that. They knew about that. So if you are up against somebody with a hard heart, or somebody's trying to catch you or trip you up, how do you respond to that? The best way to respond with that is with the Word of God. That's what Jesus did when he was tempted in the wilderness by Satan. How did he respond? It is written. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. He quoted and he used the Old Testament. He used the scripture in the battles that he had in his life. And there's lessons about the Sabbath day. We could talk about that. There's lessons about the Son of Man. This is the second time that you find the phrase Son of Man or the title Son of Man in the book of Mark. The first was in Luke chapter 2 verse 10. And it said over there, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy. And here he refers to himself again as the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. So there's a lot of things, a lot of ways that we could look at this passage of Scripture, some devotional thoughts we might could bring out from this passage of Scripture, but we're just going to go verse by verse. And there's five things I want to bring out in these six verses. Five things about Jesus, Lord of the Sabbath. First of all, there is the circumstance. And we find this in verse number 23. The Bible said, and it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn. This sets the stage for everything that follows after it. This is the surrounding circumstances. And so what's happening here in verse number 23? We'll just look at it quickly tonight and break it down. It said, and it came to pass. Now, some people says that's their favorite verse of Scripture. Because it didn't come to stay, it came to pass. And you know, that's how things are in life. They don't come to stay. They eventually may take a long time, but they'll eventually pass. And so I've heard that said many times. That's, somebody say, my favorite verse. And it came to pass. It didn't come to stay. But it said, when it says that, what it means is time has gone by again. We've seen that last time, and it came to pass. There's been a little time since verse number 22. So it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day. He went through the cornfields. Now, if you study about this corn in this passage of Scripture here, it's not corn like we think about, like corn on the cob. Ears of corn that way. But here in the Bible, what it's talking about, when he went through the fields, it was grain. It was wheat or barley or rye or something like that. And I was studying today about corn and even the definition in the old dictionary, the Webster's 1828 dictionary, says that corn is a single seed of certain plants, as wheat, rye, barley, and maize, a grain. So it was a grain. They were going through the wheat fields there or whatever the certain grain was, but they referred to all of that as the corn fields. And corn, like we think about kernel corn, it's a grain as well. So they were traveling. They were going through the corn fields. And it's significant that it says there that this took place on the Sabbath day. Now, we're going to see chapter number 3 also takes place on the Sabbath day. You're going from one chapter to another chapter, but it's going to be the same day. It's the Sabbath day. And the enemies of the Lord, they're not going to catch him in a scandal. They're not going to catch him in some awful sin that he gets that he's involved in. We're not talking about, politicians. That's common, no matter who it is, that they would be caught, that they would be accused, that they would be indicted about this thing or that thing. And sometimes it's true and maybe sometimes it's not. But our Lord came to this world and he lived a perfect life, yet without sin. They're not going to catch him in a sin. They're not going to catch him in a scandal. They're not going to catch him stealing off of somebody or anything along those lines. It's just not going to happen. I don't believe it took them very long to realize that this is somebody like they've never met, never seen before. So what are they going to do? They're not going to catch him in a scandal. If they're going to catch him and accuse him of anything, it's going to have to be on a technicality. And that's what we find many times, that they try to catch him in. They try to catch him in his words. Let's try to get him to say something wrong. Let's try to get him to say something contrary to the law or the Pharisees of the day. And so they're going to have to manufacture a charge against him. And that's what they eventually did. They made up a charge. They couldn't even find witnesses to agree together against the Lord Jesus Christ before they crucified him. So they're going to have to manufacture. They're going to have to make up something if they're going to catch the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's the Sabbath day, and they're watching everything that he does and everything that the disciples do. And they're going to be very nitpicky about. Have you ever been around somebody that you knew they's just waiting for you to mess up? And boy, they's just going to nitpick everything you did to pieces. Well, that's how they treated the Lord Jesus. They're watching him. It's the Sabbath day. They don't like him. And so they're going to try to catch him some way or another. And so they go through the cornfields on the Sabbath day. And notice what it says next. It said, and his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn. And so they're traveling along. It's on the Sabbath day. And the disciples begin to go by the fields, and they begin to pull off some of the ears or the heads of wheat there. And they begin to eat what was there. Matthew chapter 12, verse number 1 says, and it's the same passage of Scripture talking about the same thing. It says that they were hungered. So they weren't just going by snacking, but they were hungry. So we got to keep that in mind. They're traveling. They're going by food supply. And they're hungry. And Luke chapter 6, verse number 1 says about the same passage of Scripture. It says, they plucked the ears of corn and did eat, rubbing them in their hands. And so that's, and I've done that before. It's been when I was a little boy, but I remember we were somewhere and Dad showed me how you could take wheat and break it apart and get the little grain out of the middle of it. And you eat what's in the middle. I remember that. And so that's what they were doing. They were rubbing that in their hands, and then they were eating the grain out of it. You'd have to go a long time to get a little bit to eat. That's what they were doing. They were walking along, and you picture that in your mind tonight so you understand the passage of Scripture. They're walking along, they're plucking some food, they're rubbing it in their hands, they're eating it. They're actually on their way to church. Not church like we think, but they were going to the synagogue. They were going to worship on the Saturday. Mark chapter 3, verse 1. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. So they're going to worship. They're going to the synagogue. And as they go, they're getting some breakfast along the way. Now I want to say that what they did, there was no breaking of the law whatsoever. There was nothing contrary to the law in them doing that. Now that was not their cornfield. That was somebody else's. But they were not stealing under the law of God. Under the law, there was a provision if you were traveling and you were hungry that you could do that. You know, we're not talking about days where you can run through McDonald's drive-in. God had made a provision in the law for people that were traveling and were hungry. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse number 25. I'm just going to read that for you. But the book of Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse number 25 said, when thou comest into the standing corn of thy neighbor, then thou mayest pluck the ears with thine hand, but thou shalt not move a sickle unto thy neighbor's standing corn. So that's what they were doing. Now, if you get out there with a sickle and you're out there harvesting somebody else's crop, God said, "That don't do that." Now, that's stealing. And the verses before that in Deuteronomy chapter number 23 said, if you're passing by your neighbor's vineyard and you're hungry, that you may pluck and eat thereof, but you cannot put any in a vessel. So you can go by and get some grapes if you're hungry, but if you're out there and you've got a gallon bucket and you're filling up, God said, no, that you can't do that. So God had made a provision under the law that people who were traveling and hungry, they wouldn't go hungry. They could get something to eat even out of somebody's cornfield, even out of somebody's vineyard, as long as they weren't harvesting and, you know, taking it to their barn and taking it to sale or putting it in a vessel and taking it home or something like that. So they were not stealing when they were doing this. And they were not breaking the law, not breaking God's law. The law that they were breaking was a law of man. And so let's look at verse number 24. First you have the circumstance, that's what happened. Then in verse number 24, here's the complaint. Here's the complaint. It said, and the Pharisees said unto him, behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? Why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? When they seen the disciples begin to do this, they said, oh boy, here's our chance. We've got him now. They really messed up. They've broke the law. They broke our tradition. Now, it was not lawful according to them, but they had made up laws on top of the law of God. They had added traditions. They had added other things to the law of God. They had taken, the Pharisees had taken, and they were not to work on the Sabbath day. That was in the law. The Ten Commandments, the fourth commandment says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That's under the law of God. But they had taken that simple command for the Sabbath day. God gave the Sabbath day so man would have a day of rest. And they had taken what God had meant to be a blessing and they'd made a burden out of it. They'd made a burden out of what God intended to be a blessing. And they made out that what the disciples were doing, well, they said, well, the disciples, they're out there working on the Sabbath day. As they were going along, just plucking a little handful of breakfast as they went, the Pharisees looked at that and they said, well, they're reaping on the Sabbath day. When they rubbed their hands together to get the chaff off of it so they could get the meat of what was in their hand, when they were rubbing it together, they said, well, they're threshing corn on the Sabbath day. They're breaking the law. See, man made that a sin, not God. Man made it a sin. So when they were saying, do not which is lawful, it was according to their tradition. It's not what the Bible said. There was no prohibition in the law for them to not be able to do that. But they had made the Sabbath day and all the laws of God. They'd added all these other things and it was so burdensome unto the people. So there was the complaint against the Lord Jesus and his disciples. Now look down in verse number 25 and 26. You see the comparison. Here's what the Lord Jesus said. And he said unto them, have you never read what David did when he had need and wasn't hungered? That's worth underlining. When he had need and he was hungered, he and they that were with him, verse 26, how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar, the high priest, and did eat the shewbread, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priests. And gave also to them which were with him. And so the Lord Jesus here, he makes a comparison between what they were doing and what the Bible said David did in the Old Testament. Now, I want you just to go back to 1 Samuel chapter 21. Keep your place here. And if the Lord Jesus quoted it, it'd probably be all right to go back and read what the Lord was talking about. And so it's in 1 Samuel chapter 21. 1 Samuel chapter number 21, and if you've got a Scofield Bible, it's page 343. But here we'll read what the Lord was talking about. And it will really help your Bible study if you get in a habit of doing that. When the New Testament quotes the Old Testament, go back and read it. See, Jesus gave a short version. But here's what he was talking about. 1 Samuel chapter 21. We're just going to read verses 1 through 6. And I'm not going to take a long time to go over these. But I just want to read to you. And you read along with me. Verse 1 said, "Then came David to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest. And Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David, and said unto him, Why art thou alone, and no man with thee? And David said unto Ahimelech the priest, The king hath commanded me a business, and has said unto me, Let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee, and I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. Now therefore, what is under thine hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand, or what there is present. And the priest answered David and said, There is no common bread under mine hand, but there is hallowed bread. If the young men have kept themselves at least from women." And what he was saying there, he was saying, I don't have any common bread. All the bread that he had been set aside unto the Lord, and it was just for the Levites to eat. That's what he meant in verse number 4. There's no common bread under my hand, but there is hallowed bread. But he makes an exception here. He said, if the young men have kept themselves at least from women. And David answered the priest and said unto him, Of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in a manner common, yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel. So the priest gave him hallowed bread, for there was no bread there but the shew bread that was taken from before the Lord, to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. Now, there's several things in those verses we could look at, but I just want to point out a few things quickly. First of all, there was an emergency. David was in a real fix here. In fact, he was actually fleeing from the king. If you went back in chapter number 20 and read about that, he was running for his life. And so he has a real bona fide emergency in his life. He has a real need in his life. He come to the priest, the man of God. Second of all, the need was already supplied. It's not like the bread was there. Not there. It was there. Thirdly, there was an abundance of bread. If you really study this out, what you find out, what it's talking about in verse number 6, when it says verse 5 and 6, but verse 6 says, So the priest gave him hallowed bread, for there was no bread there but the shew bread that was taken from before the Lord, to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. They rotated this bread out on a regular basis. And the Levites hadn't eaten all the bread, so David essentially got the day-old bread deal. You know, you used to could go to the day-old bread store. Well, that's all David wanted. That's all he was asking for. What was left over? It was already there. This is an emergency. Yes, we understand. Under normal circumstances, that's not for David. That's not for these other men. That's not for anybody but the Levites that have been hallowed and set apart and in the service of the Lord. But this is an emergency he's talking about. And it's already there. And they're not using it anymore. And so the high priest, he made an exception and he gave the bread unto David and his men, what they really needed in a time. So when the Lord Jesus said, Have you not read? That's what he's referring to. Now, if you were a Pharisee and you were confronting the Lord Jesus about his disciples going through and getting some corn on the Sabbath day, and the Lord Jesus used this to compare what they were doing and what he was doing, what could you say about that? You couldn't argue against who would tell David, Sorry, I know it's there,
And it doesn't seem to make any sense, but now, David, you just can't have any of this bread. That'd take a thick-skulled person to argue with the Lord Jesus about David getting any of that bread. Or who would deny the disciples, because the disciples were not reaping and threshing. They were just passing by and getting some breakfast, getting something to eat on the way to the synagogue. So that's the contrast that the Lord Jesus is using there in verse 25 and 26. And he refers back to the Old Testament. And so they've got nothing to say about that. They don't argue anymore. They don't say anything else about it. They don't accuse or say anything else. But the Lord Jesus goes further. You see, they're done. Now I like this. They're done. They don't have anything else to say about it, but the Lord's not done. Can't you just imagine in your mind, while we're at it, I'm going to give you another little thing to think about. See, they didn't have anything to say back. But the Lord wasn't done. So he goes on, verse 27, and he said unto them. Now, 25 and 26 was the comparison. Verse number 27 is the contrast. He's going to contrast their way of thinking and God's way of thinking. Verse number 27. And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Now, there's two lessons here. There's the foolishness of man's law and there's the wisdom of God's law. Their law had made a blessing a burden. And that's many times all man's extra laws and policy and regulation, this and fines and all of this abundance. I mean, nobody would argue the fact that we live in a day where there is an abundance of laws all throughout our land. But man's law quickly becomes a bureaucracy. And if you study what that is, all that is, that's just red tape. That's what a bureaucracy is. It's just red tape, paperwork. It is rules and regs and fines and all these things. Man's law is a burden. Man's law is heartless. Man's law has no common sense to it a lot of times. You'll find out you're breaking the law and find out that just makes no sense whatsoever. Many times it does more harm than it does good. But we live in a day and a time where we have multiplied thousands of new regulations and laws every year. And it becomes burdensome to a society. And that's how it had become to the Jewish people. It had become a burden to them. Now, we're not Jewish people and we don't live under the Old Testament law, but we live under an abundance of laws. And if you've ever dealt with large organizations, governmental organizations, or large corporations, you know how hard it is to get anywhere when you are not dealing with people, but you're dealing with paperwork. You can stand there and argue all day long and somebody will say, well, I'm sorry, that's our policy. And you say, well, that don't make any sense. Well, I'm sorry, that's our rules. But this is doing more harm than good. Well, we need to take a look at it. We understand that, but there's nothing I can do about it. My hands are tied. Have you ever went around and around with somebody like that? We see things like that all the time. We see things all the time. It don't make any sense. I might have told you about this, but I went to pay my cable bill a while back. And they said, I need to see your driver's license. Well, that's sort of, why? I wasn't rude about it, but I don't understand why it's my bill, it came in the mail, and I'm here to pay it, and I have cash. She said, I have to see your driver's license. I said, why? She said, make sure you're paying your bill. I said, are you having a problem with people paying bills that aren't theirs? If somebody comes in and wants to pay mine and they've got my bill, just let them pay. That don't make no sense to me. And there's a whole lot of things in our life that we have to deal with that just don't make any sense. Man's laws, he just doesn't know when to stop or where to stop. And it becomes burdensome after a while. God's law, on the other hand, is perfect. Psalms chapter 19 and verse number 7, you'll not find fault. If you study out God's laws, the Ten Commandments, built a great society called America. I dealt with that on the radio broadcast the other day. We've got a lot to be thankful for, that we live in a nation that was built upon the foundation of the Ten Commandments. That's not going to hurt nobody. That's going to help us. That is a multiplied blessing and benefit all across the board to everybody, rich and poor, white and black, north and south. It's a blessing to everybody. The Ten Commandments. God's law is perfect. God's law is not grievous. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 3 says, His commandments are not grievous. Man, when he come along and begin to add and nitpick and here and there, that became grievous, but God's law by itself was not grievous. God's law protects us. The Ten Commandments, it protects your property. It protects your life on and on. It protects your family. It edifies. Psalms 119 verse 45 says, And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. There's a blessing in the law of God. We don't have lawlessness. We have law that protects us and causes where we can live in a free society. God's law makes sense. It's not a bureaucracy. It's not just a bunch of red tape. But if God says thou shalt not, it's for a reason. It's to protect us. It's to protect us from ourselves many times. So there's a difference between man's law and God's law. And the Lord Jesus reminds them of that. He said unto them, verse 27, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. It was made to be a blessing unto man, because God knew that if we didn't have some kind of stop, that man would just work himself into the grave. He'd work every day. He'd work nonstop, or he'd work not at all. That's the two ends of the thing. And some don't want to work at all, and some don't want to stop work. And God knew that we'd be like that. And so God set aside, and he said, you need a day of rest. And we don't observe the Sabbath, but we observe the Lord's Day. And the Lord's Day ought to be a day of rest. You still need a day of rest. You'll function better. You'll get along better. There's a lot we can say about that. But last of all, in verse number 28, there's the confession. Verse number 28, there's the confession. Therefore, now, I've said it many times, when you see the word therefore, you go back and see what it's there for or wherefore. So we've seen the setting, seen the circumstance, seen all of these things. And then Jesus says, therefore, keeping in mind everything that's just gone on, he said, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. And what the Lord Jesus was really saying unto them, that is a clear statement of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was saying, I made the Sabbath. I ought to be able to say what goes on the Sabbath, what's right and what's wrong. That's what he was saying. But they were dull of hearing. And they didn't always, many times they didn't understand. It sort of just went right over their heads. But he's telling them that he's God. The Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. All throughout the Old Testament, you'll read verses like this. I just picked out one, Exodus chapter 20, verse number 10. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. God said, that's my day. That's my day. And the Lord Jesus was saying here, again, that's my day. I'm the Son of Man. That was referring to himself. Now, already in these verses, he's referred to man. But here, he refers differently. He says, the Son of Man. He's talking about his own self. The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. How dull they were to understand what the Lord Jesus was really saying. What did they do? from this point on. They continue to try to trip him up, and they continue to try to trap him, and they eventually crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. But how simple, how plain of a statement we find in verse 28 about the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. It reminds me of 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4, I believe it is. It says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. Unless the Lord turns the light on, people aren't going to see. And they didn't see what he was talking about. They didn't accept what he was talking about. How blind is blind? If you're blind, you can't see. They couldn't see it. Some of them seen it. Some of them accepted the Lord Jesus. Some of them knew who he was and accepted that. But many of them, they did not see it at all. At all. That's one of the most frustrating things about trying to witness to somebody is, well, it's like talking to a wall sometimes. Does that frustrate you? You say, I've got a friend, I've got somebody in my family, I've tried to witness to them, I've tried everything, I've prayed for them, but they just don't understand. Do you know what? The Lord, he went through the same things. They didn't understand when he told them. So we're not alone in that. We pray and ask for the Lord to open people's eyes, and God does do that, and people get saved, and I praise the Lord for that. But there's just a little lesson there, a few little lessons in this passage of Scripture, verses 23 through 28. And I'll say this, and I'll close tonight. If you want to read ahead and study ahead, it's same day. And it just goes from the cornfields right into the synagogue. And they're going to find fault in there with what he does. And so you can read and study ahead. But there's a lot of good things as we are studying here in the book of Mark. And I'm really enjoying these lessons. I really am. And studying it out for myself. I've never preached through one of the Gospels. And so this is all new to me. But I'm really enjoying it. We'll close right there. And I want to say I do appreciate your good attention. And has anybody got a word on the heart or anything before?